section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A title change on Impact, a new inductee into the Hall of Fame, and we go over our end-of-the-year awards. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So who's the new inductee into the Hall of Fame, Aaron?
The Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh yeah.
This is long overdue. And he should have been inducted the year after Hogan was, you know, or I think maybe Brett was inducted that year. But I mean, he should have been inducted a long time ago, and this is well deserved. He did so much for the industry, and he was the number two guy behind Hogan for a number of years. Warrior came along, but I think that when I think Hogan, I think Macho Man. I typically think of those two in the same breath, you know, in the same way you would think of a Brett and a Shawn, a Rock and an Austin. I think Hogan and Macho Man, and I'm so happy for him to be in the 2015 Hall of Fame, to be the marquee inductee into the 2015 Hall of Fame. And I'm very, very happy for this.
Do you think that if Brett didn't have so many problems with the WWE, that he would actually, Macho would have been in before him?
No, I don't think so. I there is something that happened behind the scenes between Macho Man and Vince, and there's been a lot of speculation that has something to do with Randy dating Stephanie when she was underage, you know, which I think is total BS. I don't think that holds any credence, you know, and shouldn't even be talked about. I think what had happened was that Randy was he got to the color commentating. He didn't really want to do it. He wanted to be a wrestler. He still felt they had a lot to offer. And so he went to WCW. And Vince, I think, felt betrayed. So I think he really admired Macho Man. And I think he was betrayed, so he kind of held that grudge, and they were never made up, unfortunately. So that is why, he wasn't put in. But I think that Austin, you know, this year he had mentioned in his podcast, when is Randy going to be in the Hall of Fame? And he's like, soon, very soon. And I think that that put a lot of pressure on him, that there's this glaring hole in your Hall of Fame, and it's Macho Man.
Do you think that Macho should have gone in before Edge?
You know, my feeling on the matter is, you know, give a year or two, you know, when you retire, because, you know, HBK definitely deserves to be in when he was put in. I think it was a year after he retired. But he also had 20 years of work under his belt, 30 years worth of work under his belt. Edge, you know, don't get me wrong, he probably had about 20 years, but how many years was he on top? He was on top for maybe 5 years, 10 years at most. I'm thinking closer to five. He was on top. So, and that was also in an era where you had the two competing shows. So he was on top on SmackDown, which is the B show, you know. Not, you know, saying that Edge was not worthy. He is, but, you know, Macho Man was definitely a little bit more worthy than him.
Yeah, so the one thing I really thought was interesting was the fact that NXT is actually doing their first show outside of Florida. Which, you know, most people would be like, oh my gosh, what? That's not news. But this is, because they haven't gone outside Florida at all. They're actually going to be in Columbus, Ohio. And it's tying into the Arnold Palmer thing where Triple H is actually getting inducted into their Hall of Fame.
Sure. But either way, I still think that this is big news, because they're taking NXT on the road. NXT really, for all intents and purposes, is a indie show, air quotes. And they really almost treated it like TNA, where they taped in one location and that was it. You know, the Impact Zone, you know, here it's Full Sail University. And it was totally fine. But NXT has been gaining a lot of ground. And I think that WWE recognized that, and they are trying something out. And so they're going to take NXT on the road. I'm not saying that they're going to go crazy, but I think that there's a good chance that we may see NXT going into the hotbed areas such as Philly, Chicago, Cincy, Cleveland, Michigan, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I can see that if you have if you do shows here and there. But I believe that the pay-per-view itself that they put up for a year now. I believe that that should stay down in Florida.
Do you think the pay-per-view should be in Florida, or do you think those should travel?
I think those should stay in Florida. And I believe
so
that
you would have house shows, or would you travel for the tapings?
Like, what I would do is, let's say the Sam, it's the people in it. Let's say the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens feud is building up, and you're like, let's have something go on in Philly because they're popular in Philly and the Ring of Honor fans are going to come out. But you make it a house show or TV taping at that time because you don't know how the fans are going to react, because they may can't say Steen, you know, they may call him Steen, they may call him El Generico. You want to find out if, you know, the fans will, I guess, respect their new persona. So it's cool to test this out. Columbus, yeah, you're going to have a bunch of tourists, and since Triple H is going to tie in with NXT, I mean, yeah, it'll be kind of cool. I just hope that they sell out. I really do. And I hope it's fast, because that's the thing of Full Sail. A lot of those people down there, it's selling out because they find it entertaining. And even though they tape, you know, almost 4 hours worth of wrestling on the TV tapings, people are excited the entire time. It's not where if you go to Raw where you have 3.5 hours, almost 4 hours there, but it's slow because they build up to something that ends up being the authority doing something that we don't care about.
Well, yeah, I think that it will be a good idea for them to travel. I think that this is really testing the waters. I think that NXT has an opportunity here to be that second show, and more so than just a second show, but an alternative, which is what ECW tried to be when WWE revived it, and it wasn't. ECW was whereas NXT, though, is really that alternative to WWE within WWE. And, you know, I watched some of the episodes last night, and I got to say, it doesn't feel like strict WWE wrestling. It actually feels more like TNA, really, I would say, because NXT – they can do different things in there that typically you wouldn't see in WWE, but you do see in TNA. So I'm happy with this, and I hope that they continue.
All right. So one thing I thought was interesting is that, well, do you even care that Main Event's not going to be airing on the WWE Network for a few weeks?
What?
All right. So the ratings, surprisingly, were they were really good comparing. I mean, the reason why we're even talking about the ratings is because they said like the largest cable audience ever watched the college championship game on Monday night. So Raw went head to head against it, but Raw actually for the first hour, I think had like a 4.1 rating. Well,
the main thing here is that the ratings for Raw this past Monday were up compared to last week overall, just in general. Which, like you said, is a big deal because it was a College Bowl game, 30 million viewers. That's a lot of people who are watching football, and people were still watching Raw, which that's good news. You know, that's saying that not only were the regular viewers there, but so were a few others, you know, and some people I'm sure were flipping back and forth, myself included. But I think that that's good news for them. You know, actually, Andy, kind of a small tangent here, but TNA had their ratings come out. And they were under 500,000. I want to say it was altogether, it was like 450-ish for the first showing, and then, of course, the replay. Because they had a replay immediately after, which is smart in my opinion, because that way, if you didn't get a chance to see it or you missed something, you got a chance to see it.
Yeah, that was different. They're saying that was only the demographic. Well, sorry, but you're 18 to 49 people. That's your biggest demographic. So I found that a little hilarious. But with them being on Destination America, the one thing that's really interesting is that they took out a half-page ad in USA Today, which I think newspaper stuff is kind of dead. But now, I don't know if you had this issue when you watched Raw, because, you know, we fast-forward through commercials. But surprisingly, there were two ads for Impact Wrestling on Destination America for me on DirecTV.
I heard that. I heard that they put some ads out there, which is smart. That is insanely intelligent to do, because, hey, you're watching a wrestling show. Hey, there's this other wrestling too that you can watch if you're interested.
Also, don't forget, also appearing, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but Access TV is actually having New Japan Pro Wrestling on it for 13 weeks. So that
Access TV?
Access TV. It used to be HD Net. So it's actually, that's what it is. It's at 8, it's head-to-head. It went head-to-head with Impact at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, so I recorded it. I have not watched it yet, but it's going to be interesting to see. But
well, I'm going to thank you for letting not only our listeners know, but letting myself know, because now I have something to set on my DVR.
So speaking of stuff you set on your DVR, let's talk about WWE programming for this week. So the New Day is now feuding with Cesaro and Tyson Kidd. Didn't they just have some Tyson and Cesaro? What did they do last week?
They went ahead and they had masks on. They came out and attacked them. And then they had some matches over the course of a week. And then this week they decided, hey, we're going to just go ahead and have you guys, you know, have a full on match. You know, we're going to basically have the feud start and end in the span of a week. I'm a little confused by this. Let's just dissect this real quick. I mean, we'll spend a little bit of time. I got to ask you first, do you like Cesaro and Tyson Kidd together?
You got to do something with Cesaro. And I'm sorry, but the fans dug him. And then they're like, did you date Stephanie when she was younger? So let's just bury you because of that.
Yeah, this was a guy who was not only very over, but somebody that got over in spite of WWE, and they decided, hey, that's great, but you're not in our plans right now. Roman Reigns.
It's the Zack Ryder complex is what this is.
Yeah, but he's way better than Zack Ryder. Look, Zack Ryder got over.
But Zack Ryder got over by doing something simple and that no one in the WWE ever thought of. Never got credit for it. Cesaro did it in the ring and by his work in the ring, and people started to dig it. There even like people who watched for the storylines, they're like, wow, he's a good wrestler. Wow, he's really good in the ring. And then it's like all of a sudden they're like, hold on a second, you're getting a little bit more popular than Cena, so we're going to dumb you down a little bit.
Well, he didn't get more popular than Cena, but he got more popular.
Yeah, and it's like, well, you're not in our plan, so let's dumb you down. Besides, this guy, Roman Reigns, is going to be our next big thing.
Exactly, and I think that's unfortunate. I agree with you. I think that you got to do something with him. Tyson Kidd, I've always liked him. I've always thought that, you know, he'd be great in a cruiserweight division. That's where I think he would shine the most. Unfortunately, they don't have one. So, you know, what are you going to do with him? We'll put him in a tag team. And, you know, he's got a pretty good heel persona going right now, which is totally fine. Cesaro is, you know, in limbo. So I'm okay with that.
That's the best way to put it, is that he's in limbo.
Yeah. The New Day. I don't know if we've even really talked about them because they kind of appeared and didn't do anything. So what do you even care for the New Day?
Okay. I like Xavier Woods. I like Big E. I really like Kofi.
So you do have a man crush on Kofi. It has been well documented.
You know, Kofi is just, I don't know, I look at Kofi whenever he's in the ring, he does something special. And Big E surprisingly can make someone look like $1 million. Yes, not at first, but he slowly got to that. And then all of a sudden it's like Xavier Woods is, you know, a genius. Well, not a genius, but he's pretty close. And it's like, hey, since we don't know what to do with you guys, let's put you together. We're going to make it into a gospel type thing, you know, because that's what bothers me about the group. But I also don't like the gimmick. I think they could have done something where they were heels. If they came out as heels, people would boo Kofi, which would be, I think, intriguing.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea what their gimmick is, and it doesn't make any sense. So that doesn't, like, whatever, right? But then you have this little feud going on with Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, and I'm not sure what they're feuding over because there hasn't been any indication of, you know what, I think that we're a better tag team than you. I don't care if you guys, you know, have the same color scheme. We're a better tag team, or we deserve a shot at the title, and we're going to make an example of you. in order to get the title. I would be okay with that. In fact, if anything else, I would be intrigued by it. I feel like there is no they have not explained thoroughly enough for us to know what's going on. Instead, they've been doing these little one-offs that make almost no sense, and it's stupid in my opinion. So I think WWE is dropping the ball on this. I think that they're really not having the title be a big enough deal. And look, the tag titles, you can make them a big deal. And it's okay to say that this is a prize, and that's the top prize for any two people that want to go after someone like this.
One thing I thought was really interesting is that Paul Heyman cut a deal a while back. And he cut a deal with Seth Rollins and the Authority. But I'm wondering what that deal was. Because at the end of Raw, Rollins curb stomp Cena and Brock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's going on here? Why did he curb stomp both of them? I mean, I understand Cena, but I don't understand the thing with Brock and why Paul Heyman didn't do something about it.
Well, so storyline wise, let's dissect that a little bit. We had Lesnar, or I'm sorry, I should say Paul Heyman and Rollins had a understanding, you could say. And then Rollins got thrown into the match and they said, hey, why don't we talk about a way that we can work something out, get rid of Cena, and then we'll see who the better man is between us two. And Rollins, he definitely seized an opportunity, you know, storyline wise, obviously, to give the curb stomp to him. Heyman is not going to do anything against Rollins, obviously. So instead, what we're going to see, we have one more week until the Royal Rumble, or another Raw, I should say, until the Royal Rumble, which is actually good. Because I think that on Raw, we should see an answer to this. We should see either Brock Lesnar or Paul Heyman cut a promo on Rollins and why that was a really bad idea. And then, in my opinion, start of the match, have Lesnar give an F5 to Rollins. And then have Cena be like, oh, crap. All right. You and I now one-on-one for a little while. I think that's what I would do because Rollins has done a fantastic job of being the heel you love to hate. And he has made people pay down their hard-earned dollars so they could go to the arena to boo him. And that's something that Rollins has done very well. And he's playing a great role of the heel. Cena is the face. And Lesnar's the... Yeah, I like to cheer him sometimes. Sometimes I like to boo him, but mostly cheer.
How does Sting fit into the picture?
I don't think he fits into the picture for this one. I could see him at the Royal Rumble. I could see him interfering in the match. Not giving Cena a victory, but not allowing Rollins to win.
What's the ending match? Is it the Royal Rumble? They didn't
Royal
do
Rumble.
It 1 year. They didn't.
Yeah, and I think that's dumb. I think people, the Royal Rumble is a spectacle people pay to see. A couple years ago, Doug went to the Royal Rumble. Our field correspondent, Doug. Doug Hahn. And he paid to go to the Royal Rumble. He didn't pay to see The Rock and CM Punk. Well, that was a fantastic match, and it was – or something that you would pay the fast lane to see Rock versus CM Punk, you know, once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime thing. He paid to see the Royal Rumble, plain and simple. I would pay right now to see the 2017 Royal Rumble in person if I knew I was going to be in the area for it, just because it's the Royal Rumble. That always has to be the main event, no matter what.
But remember, 1 year they didn't do it, and I was disappointed with them, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Now,
I agree.
Now, my favorite thing on Raw, and I'm glad we're going to be talking about it, that happened was Dean Ambrose talking to the Shrink.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that segment that they had was hilarious, especially with the Jim Duggan thing going to Stephanie McMahon. I thought that was hilarious.
And I knew, like, the moment I saw Jim Duggan, I was like, oh, no, they're doing this. Oh, yeah, that's great. But, you know, it's like seeing a comedian, you know, and you know his jokes. Still funny.
Yes.
Did you like the rib on Kane?
No,
when they
I missed
showed a picture
it.
Of Kane, he said toothpaste.
Oh man, I can't believe I missed that.
For Dr. Isaac Yankum. the dentist.
Well, if you remember a while ago, he was on some radio show and someone asked him about it. And he hung up on him. But yeah, that is pretty funny, though, that that he said tooth. Now I want to rewatch Raw just because of that.
So they're doing something here. I'm actually a little amazed that Ambrose is so over, because the Shield is very over. Look, you and I don't like Reigns, and actually, you know, small tangent here. Reigns is horrible at promos. He has not delivered a good one at all. And whatever they're giving him, they need to stop. They really do. But Reigns is over with the little kids. He's definitely the Cena replacement. Ambrose is over, though, with the fans. I mean, he's over with the male fans, you know, the 14 to 24 year olds. Rollins is definitely over. You know, he's the guy you want to hate. But Ambrose, in my opinion so far, Ambrose and Rollins have been the two breakout stars, and they've been doing a fantastic job. And these segments they're doing with Ambrose are helping him out. They're playing to Rollins and Ambrose's strengths. Rollins' strengths are hating him, and so people are hating him in the ring. Ambrose's strengths are being kind of just a little weird and a little crazy and loopy, and people are digging it, because I watched those segments and I was actually entertained by them. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, Kane and Daniel Bryan, those ones were entertaining too. And when you do things like this, it makes people go, I like that guy. I'm learning more about his character now, and I cannot wait to pay my money to see him.
Do you think that maybe the reason why Ambrose is getting over with that crowd is because he was doing a lot of the like CZW Combat Zone wrestling matches, like the ambulance match, the hardcore matches and street fights? Do you think that's why he's getting over with that crowd?
Not really. I think that the crowd just likes him because there's a very big segment of the population that does not know who he is. I heard of John Moxley before he joined WWE, and I was intrigued by him. I never really saw any of his matches until a little later, but I know him more as Dean Ambrose than I do John Moxley. And I'm impressed with him as Dean Ambrose. And some of the stuff that I've seen of him as John Moxley are, he's an indie guy. You know, that's what my impression was. Whereas I think of somebody like a CM Punk or Daniel Bryan, and I go, oh, that's a guy that deserves to be on a main stage. That's a guy that can do something. I'm not saying that I didn't think that with John Moxley, but I didn't go, oh my God, that is the man. It was more, oh, that's pretty good. I bet he'll make it someday.
His match that I saw, this going back, and I know I've said it before, with Luke Harper and Dean Ambrose, their match that they had was the curtain, was the opening match. And I thought it could have been almost main event style because it was that good. I think that Luke Harper, you know, I'm going off tangent with Luke, but with Luke Harper, he can wrestle. And I think that now they're starting to realize that, hey, this big guy, he can wrestle. Let's have him wrestle. And he has been. I'd love to see Ambrose and Harper actually go into a real feud. But what I'm still surprised about is that finally Miz Dow, of course, is over, but he's actually kind of changing his character to a certain extent. I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, So I have a conspiracy theory about this. I don't know, conspiracy theory. I have a theory about this. I think it's going to come out that Ms. Dow is going to say, wait, I was never your stunt double. You were always my stunt double because you were the one in the ring getting hit all the time. And I was on the outside of the ring pretending to get. And I've been thinking about this. I really think that's the route. And if it is, genius, because that's going to say, wow, that long-term planning, great job, you're doing well. They did do a small thing with him, where Ms. Dow said that he had cameras in his house and he's been recording him. So we'll see what they plan on doing with that. But I think my theory, I really hope that it comes true. I hope that WWE listens to this. Listen good. Have Miz be Ms. Dow's stunt double. You know, have Ms. Dow basically kind of put one over and be like, what are you talking about? I know you were paying me, but, you know, you're the one that's been taking all the bumps, not me. Please, for the love of God, do that.
Should we send him a tweet and
absolutely
send WWE a tweet and say, this is how it should end. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, that would be genius if we ended it that way. And they're like, yes. Thank you, Aaron Hughes from Off the Mark and Section 86. So anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling this week. Before we actually get into it, I actually have my TV in the background. And believe it or not, I've seen two Impact commercials. It's on the NFL Network. They had two of them so far. And each are talking about it's on channel on Destination America. I thought that that's really interesting because they're promoting it big time. I'm still I'm wondering how much they're putting in right now for advertising. I'm curious
I'll say this about Destination America. The only thing I ever really thought of when I thought of that channel was basically kind of the Travel Channel. You know, just maybe that's where the Travel Channel stuff went. A lot of Disney things would go on there. You know, they had the Disney hotels, the Disney resort behind the scenes, that sort of thing. Those used to be on the Travel Channel, if I remember correctly.
You're right.
And so Destination America was four destinations. And then they have, you know, they have all these reality shows that, you know, I always hate. And I think that maybe that they're looking at this going, we have this original programming here that has a long library that they can use, we've already seen it because they've had Best of Kurt Angles, Best of Stings, you know, that sort of stuff. So they can use that stuff. And so they have an opportunity here to really, hey guys, come to us. We have a lot of wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan, please come to us. I think that's actually really smart for them. So kudos to Discovery and Destination America for doing this.
Also, one thing I want to point out is they're pushing stuff with the six-sided ring. Even the first time they had it, and of course now the second time they've had it, they've been pushing that stuff, which I thought was really interesting. So, good, you know, kudos to the people at Destination America. They're putting some money into Impact Wrestling. So here's something that you have to explain to me. Low Ki versus Austin Aries for the X Division title.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It just happened.
I know. And I said, I think we talked about it was last week or the week before, how the X Division title can, you know, swap hands. I think we said like 12 times or so in a year. But it changed hands twice in the span of really, you know, a night, two nights, which I guess really a week. I don't understand this because why have Austin Aries win it from Low Ki in the first place and then Low Ki win it back from him? It doesn't make Austin Aries look stronger. It doesn't make Low Ki look stronger. If anything else, it confuses the hell out of people because they go, wait, why are they just handing it back and forth? I don't understand. And who else is involved in this? You know, there's no other X Division like stars that are there saying, oh, I get a shot next, or I get a shot next. There was no go get to the back of the line. You know, you had your chance and you missed none of that stuff. So I am confused as to the booking here. I'm not saying that Low Ki shouldn't have won it back from Austin Aries. That's fine. Give it a month. Give it 3 weeks. You know, don't just have it boom, boom, boom. That makes no sense. And wrestling fans are confused then.
I'm more confused about the Beatdown Clan. What is the point of them? I mean, realistically, what's the point of them?
Well, Andy, I got to ask you, you know, you're running a wrestling company right now and you have to come up with a heel faction. What name do you give the heel faction? Are you going to come up with a name that sounds like it came from a junior high group of friends, or are you going to come up with something maybe a little bit more clever?
The BDCs? Oh, wait, that's what they came up with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of ridiculous. This is reminding me more of NWO, not. And so it's more of a, you know, I've seen this before. Why? You know, I like the, you know, here's the one thing that they started doing that I thought was intriguing was the fact they had cameras basically at Gorilla. They had cameras in the back. I was kind of like, at first I was like, oh, that's stupid. But now I'm thinking, you know, this is actually kind of an interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
Why they're not pushing that? They're instead like, let's have this thing called the Beatdown Crew, like the NWO or D-Generation X.
I don't understand what TNA's love is for heel factions. It seems every year they have to have a heel faction.
I think it's the writing. I think it's just the people behind the scenes.
I mean, is Russo writing this stuff?
Well, you know, he wasn't, but he might be a consultant. You never know.
Here's my thing. I think Lashley, Kenny King, and MVP together were totally fine because that was a trio, which is – it works out well. And they were a heel trio who were, you know, attacking people. You can have the one single star. You can have the other two in tag team matches. It works totally fine, and I'm okay with that. That I'm okay with. The thing I'm not okay with is coming up with a stupid name for a stupid group that makes no sense why they would be attacking the other people. Yeah, Eric Young explained that, oh, I never really liked Bobby Roode, and which does make sense because – you have been a face for so long, so now all of a sudden you're a heel. You didn't really give that good of an explanation. Low-key didn't make a whole lot of sense. Samoa Joe I'm more okay with because he's good either way, and he had a pretty good match with Angle. But I don't understand the love for this. The one thing that happened too is that Lashley said that he wasn't really interested in it, so now you're losing your muscle. Apparently now Lashley is going to be a face. But I think for me, and let me know about for you, this week's episode, storyline-wise, it didn't intrigue me. The wrestling I liked, but the storylines, they weren't enough to make me go, oh, hey, friends, you should tune in to TNA to see these amazing storylines and this amazing wrestling. So it's more like, well, wait till next week.
And see, that's the thing. It's also the season premiere. They're considering this as the first show on Destination mm-hmm. America. And they blew it, I think. So that's my issue with this. I mean, realistically, I think that they could have, like last week's, you know, they had the beatdowns and everything. And you're like, okay, this was filmed probably the day or two beforehand. It was just very obvious. But I thought this was a bad way to start. I really do. I mean, the other funny thing was that I guess they put a feeler out to Edge to do Kurt Angle's job, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, well, which is totally fine. And I think that's smart. You know, getting somebody who is established like Edge would be amazing. And same thing with Del Rio, which they were trying to do.
Yeah. So, but I guess my big beef is that I think that when you tape all these shows together and you don't have anything down on paper until, like, you know, afternoon, it's not, I mean, when they went to New York on Tuesday or some on Monday, they should have known exactly what they're doing on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and have it all set in stone. Maybe change a promo here or there, but this is the formula they're going to use. They're going to bring these people in and that's it. I think that it's just like old Impact or old WCW days. They're like, what should we do now? Hey, let's tape 6 matches of Explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, my big beef. I think it was very disorganized, this show. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. I don't want to bash them too much besides that.
Well, and besides, Andy, we have our end of the year awards to talk about, which I got to ask you, 2014, pretty big year in wrestling. I had a tough time choosing some of mine. So why don't we jump right into it, Andy? Who was your
Paige
Newcomer of the year is Paige. Paige. Mine was EC3.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. EC3, good one.
What's funny is I had a tough time thinking about who the newcomers were. And then I was like, oh, crap. Duh. EC3.
I had Big E, actually, but then I realized that he's been around for a little bit longer.
He was actually my newcomer of the year, I think. Oh, last year. He was my newcomer.
So he's probably your fall for grace, too. No, but I put Paige. I thought that she came in. And by the way, here's something interesting. When they told Paige when she was going to win the Divas title, they said it was like, oh, by the way, you're going to go over on AJ tonight. And then that was it. There's nothing special about it. when the Usos actually won the tag titles, they said the same thing to him. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to go over. And, like, didn't, like, hey, I want to tell you something really interesting. You're going to go over. They're like, yeah, you're just going to win. And they're like, that's it. You know, because John Cena thinks they're a prop. Yeah. Okay, so
Andy, the best video of the year, I'll go first. Mine, because it's not we can't say DVD anymore. It's really best video. Mine, I'm going to say, is the Austin McMahon podcast.
Oh, I thought
because
we were talking.
It was a video.
Okay.
And in my opinion, that was probably the best video of the year. What was yours?
I had a tie. I had the Paul Heyman, I am Paul Heyman, and then I had the Wrestling Road Diaries 2.
Okay, so which one was your video of the year?
That's tough. I think because I was disappointed with Wrestling Road Diaries, I'm going to have to go with Paul Heyman, which you can watch on the WWE Network, by the way.
Yeah. You're Fallen from Grace Wrestler of the Year, and this is given to a wrestler who was on top of the world last year or even earlier this year and really has just been in the doghouse as of late.
See, this is one that I had issues with. I put someone that's no longer with us, but I put Kane again. I think I've had him a couple of times. I believe that Kane has fallen from grace, and it's pretty obvious. They make him do weird things. See, he was under the mask. Now he's not. Then he's corporate Kane. It's like they don't even know what to do with him. So fallen from grace, I'm going to say him.
I'm amazed you had the easiest one set up in front of you and you didn't pick him. It's Cesaro. He is easily the guy who was on top of the world. He won the Andre the Giant Battle Royale, for crying out loud. And so he is easily the Fallen from Grace Wrestler of the Year. Now, underrated Wrestler of the Year. This is for the guy, I mean, could be at the top of the game. Could be a Daniel Bryan if he was underrated, but he's not. In my opinion, the guy that I really liked, that I think was wasn't looked at as much, I'm going to say is Kenny King. And the reason I say that is because he is very good in the ring, and he's got really great mic skills. And he's a guy that a couple years ago, I think I remember even saying on this podcast, you know, who is this guy? He's bland, he's boring, there's nothing exciting about him. But then you get to hear him talk, and you really want to see him get his butt kicked. And that's the thing that I really liked about him, and I think that he is the underrated wrestler of 2014.
This is the one where I was arguing so many times about who's the underrated wrestler. It ranged from Mizdow to Big E to Kofi, but I'm actually going to say Sami Zayn. I think he's underrated right now.
I wouldn't say he's underrated, but
I think he is.
Okay. Why is he underrated? Just because he's the NXT heavyweight champion?
No, but the thing is, he was underrated, and then they gave him the NXT championship. But the entire year, he was underrated the entire time. It's like he was there, like, oh, yeah, he's there, but he puts on decent matches, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it's that, you know, I had a tie between, really, it came down to him or Mizdow. And Mizdow, I think, is underrated. But same thing with Sami Zayn. He didn't come on strong until the end of the year, mm-hmm. until December. So that's why I'm going to give it to Sami Zayn this year.
Okay. And what is your OMG moment of the year?
Oh my gosh, it's Sting.
Same here. Mine was Sting. To see Sting in a WWE ring, to me is just really like, holy crap.
Yes.
He's there. So I think that's all that needs to be said. Biggest disappointment for me, CM Punk leaving the WWE.
Authority?
That to me.
Really? CM Punk leaving?
That to me was the biggest disappointment because he left at the very beginning of the year. He left, you know, right after the Royal Rumble in January. And I'm a big CM Punk fan. I'm a mark for him for sure. You know, I'll call him out on his BS, but I think that CM Punk leaving and then everything that followed, just, you know, we wanted answers. We got them and it was a wow. Okay.
My biggest disappointment was the Authority coming back into power.
And why is that?
Because it happened. It was the last Raw of the year and then they're back in power now. It's just it's disappointing.
Because you think Triple H is hogging the spotlight or that?
I think that he's on TV too much. He wants to be portrayed that way. he doesn't need to be on TV. He's had his time. Let's give it to someone new. And see, that's the problem, is that to me, it's a buddy system. It's going back to WCW, and if you let Triple H run it, there's going to be a huge problem. You bring someone else in who has no ties to those guys, it's going to be ran completely different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Without egos.
And wrestling industry news of the year.
I'm going to say CM Punk going to UFC.
Hmm. Interesting. Mine, or did you have more you want to say about that?
Realistically, it's not really wrestling news. I mean, I would almost say Ring of Honor doing their first pay-per-view would be the biggest one. But this, I don't know, something about CM Punk going to UFC I think is a huge deal. And I guess that's my thoughts on it.
So mine is actually TNA's TV issues. Because when you think about it, they all of a sudden we had talks about Russo writing for TNA again. That became a big deal. There was talks of how Spike TV was not happy about that because they didn't like Russo and they thought that his writing was, you know, crap. And then on top of it, we didn't know what was going on with TNA. There was talks that Viacom had dropped them completely. And that was a really big deal. So to me, TNA's TV issues was definitely the wrestling industry news of the year.
And what was your worst feud of the year?
Worst feud? Big Show versus anyone.
I can top it. Adam Rose versus the Bunny.
That was your worst feud of the year.
That was the worst feud of the year.
Okay. I actually enjoyed that one a little bit. But to me,
but realistically,
Big Show, no.
Well, yeah, but realistically, I'm sorry, but after a while, you're like, I'm sick of the Bunny. And then now, where is the Bunny? No,
I know.
Oh, my gosh, he's going to be in the Royal Rumble. The Bunny's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, crap. Why'd you say that?
Oh, my God. Because WWE listens to our show. That's what the thing is. So the Bunny's going to be, he's going to be like, I don't know, number 13, and Adam Rose is going to be number 12 or something like that. And the Bunny's going to eliminate Adam Rose. And then, I don't know, someone else, then like Titus O'Neil will eliminate the Bunny. And it's going to turn out as Darren Young. So Darren Young comes out, eliminates Titus. Oh, gosh, this is what's really happening. Oh, man.
Yeah, thanks for ruining that.
Yeah. So, Aaron, what is your feud of the year?
Feud of the year. First of all, I had two. And I have to explain why. I'm narrowing it down to one, but I have to explain. So the first one I thought of was Rollins and Ambrose. That's the first one that came to mind. And the main reason for that is because they had a feud for a good 4 months, and I was interested in all 4 months. And I thought that's the makings of a good feud. The one thing I did not like about it is I felt that Ambrose never was able to get his win back. Rollins won every time. Rollins always had the upper hand. And that was the thing to me that made me not give it to him. And in fact, what I think is the feud of the year really spanned over a year and a half, and that's Adam Cole against Jay Briscoe. And that's one where they had wins back and forth. You saw what was happening. It was title versus title. You saw to me, the culmination that they had was phenomenal. The chemistry they had was really great. So to me, Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe, highly recommend you go and you watch these two. They put on a fantastic set of matches.
They should put out a DVD series or a DVD on that, or a Blu-ray on that alone, those matches.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope they do. Here's my thing. That's actually now I think about it, this probably is the feud of the year. But mine was CM Punk versus the WWE. There's so many things that go into it. I believe that might have been the feud of the year. I do like Ambrose and Rollins, but my problem was that, like you said, Ambrose never got that win. And if they're setting something up for down the line where Ambrose is wrestling Rollins for the world title, okay, then that was a smart thing that they did. But that hasn't happened yet, and pretty soon people are going to forget.
Yeah. Well, and just to point out, Andy, CM Punk versus WWE, that was your feud of the year for 2011. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but glad you kept that.
But what's funny about that, though, is it was different because it was versus, you know, the authority, you know, that they had in place there. John Cena. This time around, it's literally CM Punk versus WWE. And so I find it rather ironic, you know, because it's more of a real life feud than a storyline.
That is now, true, yes.
What is your wrestler of the year?
I got to give to John Cena. He is the wrestler of the year.
Even though
Seth Rollins really deserves it, but if you want to think about money, if you think of money, period, it's John Cena.
Really?
I want to give it to Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins really is the wrestler of the year, but when it comes down to
give it to him. But it's your choice.
If you look at Wrestling Gates,
we've never looked at that. We've looked at the storylines, been the most important thing.
If we say storylines, you know, it's Seth Rollins, hands down. Okay. There's no
other
guy. Who
is your wrestler of the year? Because John Cena cannot be wrestler of the year. He hasn't done crap.
My wrestler of the year, realistically, AJ Styles.
Why? AJ? Because he went to...
AJ Styles in this podcast.
Okay.
No, it's Seth Rollins to me. Seth Rollins actually...
Okay.
It took it with him and Dean, that feud, and the fact that he won Money in the Bank and everything that's been happening with him. I believe that he is truthfully the wrestler of the year.
So I, for me, you know, I went through the three main promotions, you know, and I had Robert Roode, of course, Adam Cole for Ring of Honor and from TNA. But I agree. I looked at Seth Rollins. The problem was I wrestled with this and I'm still wrestling with it right now. No pun intended. I agree with you. I think it's Seth Rollins because of everything that has happened. His popularity has skyrocketed. But man, I gotta say the one I was so close to giving it to was Brock Lesnar. And the main and here's the thing. You want to talk about accomplishments? Brock Lesnar did something that no man will ever do. He beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. No one else is going to do that. And even if, let's just say they have Bray Wyatt beat him or whatever this year, it doesn't matter. Brock Lesnar was the first to do that. He's the one that broke that. He's the one that made it about the streak, and he ended it. And I think that's a really big deal. He's the one that conquered John Cena, and he's the one that has been the man for really this full year. You know, it's been Brock Lesnar. That's it. So... like I said, it was very close, but I will agree with you. I will say Seth Rollins.
I can't believe you even thought about Brock Lesnar. Unbelievable, dude.
It was very close, dude. I almost picked him. He didn't do all that this year?
He doesn't even deserve to be in that category. Maybe top 25, and he's 25?
Oh, are you kidding me? He's my number two.
Dude,
easily.
I would throw Adam Cole... And there, I'd almost throw Michael Bennett above him.
Oh, Michael Bennett has done crap this year.
No, I just said I would throw him before I'd say Brock Lesnar. I can think of 25 other guys. I would even say Luke Gallows would be in the top 25 because of what he's done in Japan.
Really? So Luke Gallows beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania?
Okay, he did not beat The Undertaker.
Did he destroy John Cena?
Oh, man, dude. Ugh.
That's all I'm saying, man.
Anyways, I think we might have got the wrestling industry news. I think we probably botched that one. I think, in a way, we should have said the WWE Network launches.
That was definitely a really big deal. I think last year, because we actually talked about it then, that the WWE Network was the wrestling industry news of the year. Because it was. It really was. You know, the way that they talked about it and what it was going to be like. So, you know, I would agree. I would say that it was really close to that. To me, though, I think the TNA TV issues is a huge, huge deal.
And CM Punk going to UFC, I think, is a huge deal as well.
Yeah.
Wrestler, that's not...
Well, it's actually kind of funny. We agreed on only two things, which I think the first time we did this, we agreed on a lot. We'll have to talk about that sometime. But, we agreed, of course, Seth Rollins for Wrestler of the Year and Sting being the OMG moment of the year.
You know, I want to see our predictions. I actually want to get eight of them right. And
well, I hope that we do.
I hope that Total Divas does get canceled because the only reason I watch it is because, well, I review stuff. So that's the only reason why I watch it. It would be nice if they just cancel it. So, hey, and by the way, if you haven't heard yet, again, on Access TV, New Japan Pro Wrestling's on it. 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you follow the show at AwfulMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, see you in the ring.